Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Capitalist Investor. You got the last two men standing here. You got myself, Diamond Hands D, and Tony Zabagallo. Welcome, Tony. How are you?
I'm back again.
So, Mark's in New York. Luke is out today. So you just got the two of us talking about, you know, some current events, which are all over the headlines right now. So we'll talk a little about gas prices and inflation, two major themes of the year, obviously, but lots of movement there. Also, we'll talk a little bit about the, I don't know if it's so much the strengthening U.S. dollar versus more of a declining euro, but we're basically at a one-to-one value there. So we'll talk about that. It's been a long time since that has happened. And last but certainly not least, we'll dive into the Open Championship a little bit this week, make a few predictions. It looks very, very hot and dry over there. So
they're saying it could go really low because the courses are set up for crappy weather. Yeah. It's supposed to be windy and rainy.
Really?
It's going to be hardly any rain and the wind's going to be low. So,
all right.
So we'll talk about that.
Low but anyway, numbers.
All right. So the topic I keep on hearing is like the strengthening of the dollar.
Right.
And what does that really mean to me, you, anyone listening to this podcast, in my opinion? Because like, oh, you hear it. What is it actually doing for us? I mean, yeah, the euro, you know, it's a lockstep right now, one to one. It used to be euro was two to one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what does it really mean? I could throw all these statistics and things like that. What I found, Dave, chime in afterwards, but I'm thinking that the pros for having a strong dollar is that if you've ever wanted to travel abroad, this is the time to do it.
Yep.
Because your dollar is going to stretch further in other countries, right? Imports are cheaper. Multinationals that do business in the U.S., they benefit. And our status as the world currency is just bolstered, you know? So I feel good about all of those things. However, the cons are tourism to the United States is more expensive. So we're sacrificing on what we can go do, but now we don't have people coming here and spending money. That's a problem for GDP, economic growth, things like that. U.S. companies that sell their products abroad, they got a problem. People that invest the U.S. dollar investor, that they're going to have a problem. So, and then also then non-U.S. manufacturers, that rely on American-made products, they're going to have to pay up. So I was listening a little bit to, you know, some of the talking heads on the radio this morning coming into work, and they're talking about trade wars establishing now that we're, you know, the U.S. dollar is now strong again. What are they going to do? Undercut to, you know, suffocate the U.S. economy, kind of. So, I mean, maybe that's coming down the pike. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But so those are kind of the pros and the cons. I think immediate reaction, it doesn't do much. But I think in long term, it could have some impact just based on economic growth. Because, you know, if our dollar is strong, it makes everyone else around the world, it's expensive for them to do things with us. So exports, imports, things like that.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, you know, I would always remember, you know, having to, you know, back in the day, I haven't traveled extensively, but, you know, go into the bank, getting some euros, right? The exchange rate was like 1.33 or something like that last time I went. So, you know, basically you lost a third. It does help short term for travel abroad, I guess. But, you know, I think, you know, a strong U.S. dollar doesn't necessarily mean a strong U.S. economy. And I think in this case, it really just means it's just not as bad as the European economy, because the European economy is a complete mess.
Yeah.
They're going to have a lot of problems this winter, having all the countries getting enough power to heat their homes. Over 40% of their gas that they received was through Russian pipelines. That's down by 60%. I saw Germany had a trade deficit for the first time since 1991. So all of these things, all of these, you know, fallout from the COVID era or whatever we want to call it, and now with the global conflict with Ukraine and Russia, it's all just big negatives for Europe, and their currency is suffering because of it.
Yeah, so, and it'll be a trickle down.
Yep.
to the U.S. It's just going to take a little bit of time. So
yeah,
at the end of the day, I think like the headline strengthening U.S. dollar tomorrow makes an impact. I think it's going to take a while to bleed through the system.
Yep. But,
all right.
Just another thing to keep an eye on.
Yep. Gas prices are down. I did notice that. You know, mm-hmm. they're down about 50 cents. They kind of crested in Ohio, at least, about $5.
Yep.
And they're about $4.40, $4.50 a gallon now. So I'm thinking, I'm like, wow, I noticed that. Was that because Biden, did they eliminate that tax?
No, I don't think that happened.
Okay.
No.
All right. So basically, it is the what do they call that, knee-jerk reaction of a recession.
Yep.
So we're definitely in a recession. I don't know how we can't be. We had a negative GDP reading last week or our last quarter. The next one's going to be coming out in a few weeks, and you know the Atlanta Fed has already saying that we're going to, you know, that I know that they range between -2 and +2. It's going to, I can't see how we're positive. So we're in a technical recession. It doesn't feel that way because job growth is still good. Just things are just more expensive and people are spending less money, on discretionary items.
Yep. So, yeah, you know, I think it's really as simple as the Costco example that I think I gave last week. Remember when the gas prices first started shooting up, the line for gas at Costco was around the corner. You know, I only did it once, but it took 35, 40 minutes to get through that line. And that lasted for about a month. And then the last couple weekends, there's basically been no one there.
Yeah, I forgot. I did bring it up, like the Costco box of king crab index. Next time I go, I got to remember to try and find that box of king crab legs because it's like, I don't know, like 10 pounds of crab legs. And it was before, it was like $180, $190 a box or maybe $220. And I'm like, holy cow, who's going to buy that? That thing's got to be like $350 today, $350 now. I'm going to have to go do some boots on the ground research.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I'll report back next week as well because I have been complaining about the brisket prices. And I actually noticed last week they had the full briskets, which take like 16 hours basically to cook. Those were actually like $3.99 a pound. So I think those have actually come down in price too.
Okay. That doesn't sound too bad.
No. And so I think a big one was like, you know, $65, $70.
Okay.
So much better than, you know, 110. Okay. So yeah, you know, it's not a good sign, I think, is the bottom line. Yes, it's nice that gas prices are going down. Yes, that's nice. That is going to help cool inflation. That big, you know, headline number 9.1% that just got printed. So that is going to help, but the reason behind it is a lack of demand.
Has our president taken?
Yes, I've already seen.
He's done a victory lap already. Mm-hmm. Did he take a victory lap on the recession that we're in?
I don't think so.
I didn't think so either.
No.
Okay, just checking.
You remember when they put out that chart when gas prices went down 2 cents?
I know that they made a big thing like, hey, your 4th of July picnic's going to be 17 cents cheaper this year.
Yep.
And that was last year. This year it was up $17. Anyway.
So, yeah, you know, and I've been seeing lots of ancillary stuff, articles and things I've been reading. You know, it's gone. The middle class person who was living comfortably before, you know, in, let's say, 2019, you know, that person is no longer that person or family. They're no longer living comfortably now, right? They have to pay more for all of their basic supplies. They have to pay more for energy and gas. And after a while, it starts to bog people down and they stop spending.
Yep.
And that's what really, you know, is at the crux of the recession. So really now the only question is, you know, how long is it going to last? Is it going to be a shallow recession or is it going to be a longer, deeper recession, which is frankly needed to get inflation back under control? I think pretty much everyone can agree that inflation is out of control to levels, you know, we have never seen during our lifetime.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's most likely the direction that we're headed. How much of it is priced into the stock market? You know, it's that is the million-dollar question, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's starting to get a lot of stuff is getting priced in, but I can't see how the Fed takes their foot off the accelerator on hiking interest rates. But then there's going to be a point where they did suffocate it off because I don't know how you soft land a 75 to 100 bip increase every meeting and then magically figure it out. I think tomorrow, and by the time this is published, it'll be published, but this podcast is published, but the PPI, the Producer Price Index. I'm curious on where that's going because that's actually a leading indicator, in my opinion, to CPI, what we pay. You know, what is it costing to make the things that we're buying? So I'm curious because I know that a lot of commodity prices are down. So precious metals, oil, gas, things like that, they actually have come down quite a bit from their all-time highs a month or two ago. But it's, again, knee-jerk reaction to the word recession. So let's see where the PPI comes in. I think that's going to help explain or lead us in a direction if inflation is going to cool off or not.
Yep.
So.
All right. So let's end on some more happy news. The 150th edition of the British Open is this week.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's been a really big deal. Obviously Tiger Woods after his accident, I think he missed the last major, right? Tiger.
Did he miss it?
Oh, he withdrew.
He withdrew. He wasn't doing well and he wasn't looking well.
He was not looking good. So, but you know, there's two conversations we can have here because obviously the LIV Golf Tour, the 54 Tour, whatever you want to call it, that's been a major talking point not only in the sports world but you know the mainstream world as well. But it is a historic occasion. You know, they were playing golf at St. Andrews since forever, basically.
Yeah.
that's where the game was born.
Since they put something on the end of a stick and
exactly started whacking a ball around.
Right.
So it's obviously a historic site. It's a historic addition. You know, the 150th anniversary.
Yeah, 150th, 30th time playing at St. Andrews is the creme de la creme out in across the pond when it comes there. That's the one I know the most. I think everyone understands that the most. So, all right, every golfer's there. So it's, you know, there's no one exiled because of they joined the LIV Tour. So who do you got for a winner?
All right, so I got the list in front of me here. You know, who I really like a lot this week is Justin Thomas. And I'll tell you why. It's because Tiger Woods, I saw him, you know, giving Justin Thomas the business all week, basically, because he hasn't won an Open. And they're basically best friends. So, you know, it's good natured. But he's going to take that to heart. I know he will. And his game is pretty sharp. So I like JT a lot this week. You know who I'll also give you? Another guy, Bryson DeChambeau, is a interesting guy to say the least, but I think he is going to be extra motivated at a course with his length that he could absolutely destroy if everything came together.
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, you know, it's more of a links style course, which means it's basically wide open. the ground is really hard. It looks burnt out to most Americans.
They said the wind's not going to be as much of a factor, and it's not supposed to rain. So I've read some fantasy golf articles, and they're like, this could get like really interesting with the guys with the length, because they hit that hard ground and it's going to run out.
Yeah.
But the course is riddled with pot bunkers. So, you know, it's how unlucky can you get?
Yep.
And okay. So you like JT and,
my long shot, I'll take Bryson.
Okay. So you're going a true winner and a long shot. Huh?
Yep.
Whew. Okay. So I do a lot of fantasy golf. I enjoy it on DraftKings and things like that. And, Jordan Spieth is a master on links courses. He's definitely in the mix. You got Rory just playing great golf this year. Cam Smith has been off the radar. I feel he can come back on the radar.
Yeah, that's a name I like too.
I like Cam. And then you also have Scottie Scheffler. For being number one in the world, man, you really don't hear much about the guy. It's amazing to me.
Yep.
You know, and plus they all came across and played in the Scottish Open, and I think it was like their quote unquote practice round.
Right.
And some of these guys just didn't make the cut, but you had Xander Schauffele making actually winning.
Yep.
So at the end of the day, I'm going to ride Cam Smith. I think I picked him earlier this year in one of the tournaments, and he might have won or came in second. He had a good showing. I'm going to go with Cam Smith again, and a long shot, dark horse. It's just loaded with such good people. I'm going to go with Max Homa.
All right.
He's just plays consistent golf. And I think he feels like a kind of guy I'd want to go golf with. He makes fun of himself on social media when somebody digs on him.
Yeah.
Like, I think he took a swing. His ball was above his feet. He fell over. And they're like, what do you call that? And he goes, unathletic. And he fell over. So it's great. But then one last thing before we end the show. But I did see an interview where, for the first time, where Tiger had a comment on the LIV Tour. And basically what he said, he goes, you got these guys chasing guaranteed money, and that's the problem. It's ruining the capitalism of golf,
mm-hmm.
because you just show up, because what they're doing is what the LIV Tour is doing actually is they're playing less. So they play less tournaments and they play less holes. They're playing, I don't know what their schedule looks like. It feels like they're playing once a month.
Yeah.
and then they play 54 holes, not 72.
Yep.
And it's, How do you drive competitivism, you know, like being competitive playing golf when there's guaranteed money and you don't have to play as much? Like, it can't sustain itself, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'm totally with you there. Tiger basically said, he said that, and then he basically said, Arnold Palmer told him, basically, you're making a crap ton of money now. It's your responsibility to ensure the integrity of the game, is basically what happened. Arnold Palmer was basically the reason professional golf exists. He was the one that took it mainstream. He's kind of the Hulk Hogan of the golf tour. Then obviously Jack took it from there and is probably the best golfer of all time, until Tiger. You know, Tiger doesn't have as many majors, but...
Well, you got Tiger, but I mean, like, Rory's very verbal about how he hates this. Like, he doesn't even talk to the guys that have flipped over. I know JT has been very vocal about it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the top players in the game. I mean, the LIV Tour only has, like, they have, like, Dustin Johnson, and he's, like, the 19th. Like, the big players are still with the tour, you know? Mm-hmm. So... I looked at the list of people that flipped, and it's like,
yep.
Okay, man, we lost some solid golfers. We didn't lose the best golfers. The PGA, I should say. I keep on saying that.
So to Tiger Woods' comment, Brooks Koepka is the one that comes to mind, because I watched some of him at his LIV Tour debut. And he looked uninterested. He putted a ball off the green like I would have.
Right.
Like,
He was uninterested in golf grumpy. To begin with.
Yeah.
He's not, he must be exceptionally good golfer because he looks like he never cared
exactly.
from day one.
He said he doesn't practice too. So when he was out there winning those majors, so it's crazy to think about. But yeah, you know, it's a difficult situation. You know, on one hand, what no one talks about is basically the PGA Tour not sharing all of the revenue with their players. That is really the start of the LIV defection.
Right. But now that's why the PGA came out with a tournament, I think, starting next mm-hmm. year for the top 20 or 25 yep. golfers. They have a juiced up pot tournament, mm-hmm. Probably similar to what like Firestone,
right.
you know, used to be the highest purse and a very select no cut event.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So yeah, obviously we know way too much about golf.
So yeah, it's an interesting issue for sure. But you know, there's lots of blame to go around for sure. Yeah. It would be awesome theater if some LIV golfers made a good showing at the Open. They have been shunned from the Open. The U.S. Open didn't seem to be as big of a deal. Greg Norman was not invited. the other LIV guys are not being treated as well. They're getting not as good tee times. It's a whole thing.
And let's mark it down one more time. Derek is taking Justin Thomas and Bryson DeChambeau this
yep.
week, and I am taking Cam Smith and Max Homa.
I like it.
So whoever has the best finish owes the other person lunch.
Okay.
How about that?
We'll do it.
All right.
Should we live stream the lunch as well? Where are we going? We should go. We should get some barbecue.
All right. Perfect.
Sounds good. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, everyone. Have a great week. Any questions, comments, please let us know at info@swpconnect.com. And we'll talk to you next week.
The opinions expressed in the podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any investment, legal, financial, or tax strategy. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. Please consult a qualified professional about your individual needs.